You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We kick off, as always, with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. It has been, depending on which side of the market you've been on, a very interesting day of movements. Some happier than others, some not happy at all. Joined on the line by portfolio manager and director at Rand Swiss, Gary Boyson, to take a look at what's been happening throughout the day. Good evening, Gary. Lovely to catch up. Markets starting off the week in a bizarre fashion, considering it is the end of the November trading month, and we've got a shortened week as well this week. You'd think markets would kind of get a move on, but I suppose they are getting a move on. It might not be in the direction we'd hoped for, but what do you make of today's trading day?
Yeah, just not a good day for South Africans, but the rest of the world seems to be doing just fine. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, looking at the headline indices, I mean, we had the resource index down over 2%. Industrials also just crept negative after being positive for most of the day, down 0.15%. A financial index also down around, call it, yeah, call it 0.78%. So it's, Austria index down just under 1%, but over in Europe, looking pretty positive. France, Germany, London, all trading up around 0.5%. Well, we've got the S&P and NASDAQ up about 0.33%. So it seems like it's a developed markets day. And I don't know if this maybe has a little bit to do with Scott Bessent, the new Treasury Secretary coming into the US. You know, he's formerly a hedge fund manager with Key Square Group. And it does seem like he did settle some of the concerns around protectionism and the isolation that we're going to see from Donald Trump, but he definitely supports tax cuts, but he also supports the tariff policy and higher tariffs. So maybe emerging markets getting hit a little bit today, although we also had the dollar index down. So US dollar weakening slightly after the big run that it's had over the last, say, month or so.
A weaker US dollar, you would think, in a normal world, would translate to a stronger gold price, yet gold price down 3% for the day, probably the worst day that we've had in recent memory that I can see.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're just seeing a gold price recovery starting up. And like you say, gold coming off aggressively, but it really is. It's across the precious metals as well. So while you've seen the dollar index weaken, now the dollar index, you've got to remember, is the sixth largest trading partners, with the U.S. So a lot of developed market trade there, included in that index. But dollar versus emerging market pairs. I mean, I look at the South African currency. We've hardly moved. I mean, the South African rand is essentially flat. We're trading 18. Eight at the moment. So no big moves there. But gold, as you said, down 3%. Silver down 3.5%. We've got platinum down over 2% as well. We've also got Bitcoin falling. So Bitcoin down 3.5%, which is a tiny move for Bitcoin. So it does seem like against the commodity basket and certainly the precious metals basket, the dollar is weakening, but at least the dollar is gaining. But against European trading partners, definitely falling. And even against South Africa, no big moves in the rand dollar pair.
Gary, you mentioned that obviously some South African companies not having the best day. Let's look into some of those movements. There was a cautionary from the Supergroup guys. What was in that?
Well, Supergroup, yeah, certainly they were having a great day. So bucking the trend completely, they were up almost 20% at one point. Managed to finish the day 14.44% higher, and this is really it's on the back of a deal in which Supergroup was offered $3.50 per share for their SG Fleet business, which they own a 53% stake of. So it's not that Supergroup is they're not offering for Supergroup. It's one of the businesses within Supergroup. It accounts for about 20% of Supergroup's revenue, and the market just loved that and thought let's get in on this. So Supergroup was quite clear that this may not result in a transaction. It's very early days in the deal. You have to add a lot of risk premium to this as well. This deal could easily fall apart. But at this stage, market liked the idea. They're thinking SG Fleet should not be part of Supergroup. I suppose with their portion valued at Australian dollar cross at the moment, you're looking at about 41 per share. This has resulted in a significant movement. Kind of back of the napkin calculations based on revenue means that this should have jumped around eight rand to 8 to 9 rand, depending on how how you calculate it. But obviously a lot more this morning, and then I think Sena heads prevailing, and a little bit of a sell-off later in the day. So coming down, to finish only 14% up.
Gary, how much of moves like that do you think is the market just really desperate for some form of action? I mean, I'm looking at something like AngloGold Ashanti, which also announced that they were taking up that Egypt acquisition that they'd been looking at. And then when you look at something like the AngloGold Ashanti share price, having to obviously take into account what's been happening with the gold price, the share price not reacting the same way as the supergroup share price.
No, absolutely not. But I think we've got to put that share price move in the context of a gold price down 3% as well.
Absolutely.
You just bought a gold mine and the product that you sell has just dropped 3%. So, yeah, a little bit different. And also, I think, trading on a cautionary like Supergroup, this is fresh information into the market, whereas the AngloGold Ashanti transaction has been fairly well telegraphed. We're getting now towards the end of the transaction. We are essentially at the end of the transaction. And AngloGold will take control of Sukari, which is Egypt's largest gold mine, via Centamin, and this was a cash and scrip deal that, as I said, this has been in the works for a long time. So the share price reaction, the market already understands this information and has already priced the stock accordingly. So essentially this deal now going to go through, but difficult when you've got a flat currency and a gold price down 3%. I think the fact that AngloGold Ashanti shares only fell to just over 2% is pretty spectacular, all things considered.
There we go. It could have been a worse day, but we're happy where we stand at the moment. Gary, I want to look at Oceana numbers. They also came out with an update. Where do we stand on the sale of Lucky Star Pilchards and the Tin Fish? I know that's such a big component of their business and of their revenue, but they also do quite well, not only in South Africa, in other areas where they operate as well.
Yeah, so yeah, interesting one. So revenue from Oceana flat for the 12 months to September, making around 10 billion rand. And as you say, Lucky Star really is it's the big segment, of the business. So Lucky Star Foods accounts for about 45% of Oceana's revenue, and it did really, really well. So looking at the Lucky Star segment, I mean, nice jump in operating profit there, 23.7% lift. Overall, the group did do fairly well, despite the more flat revenue line. So headline earnings per share up 13.5%, divvy up also over 13%. But really, the big contributor was their U.S. Fish oils, at least fish meal and oils, fish oil business, which is called Daybrook. They came into the year with a little bit of inventory that they managed to sell down. That's why that operating margin just looks so incredible on it. But really shooting the lights out. Operating profit terms, you're talking about a 45.4% jump in operating profit at that U.S. business. So really, really carrying the business. We also saw a turnaround in the hake operations, but the African fish meal and fish oil business really suffering. So, I mean, these are very cyclical businesses. It really depends on your catch and all sorts of things. That dropping, in an operating profit terms, 47.3%. So a big pullback there. The group blamed some of the bad performance on basically poor horse mackerel catch, but part of this was also a major vessel breakdown, which took a lot of the volume out of it. Also spending more money. So we've seen a big lift in their CapEx as well. So CapEx moving from 187 million to 645 million. And seeing opportunity, I think, in squid, because buying five new squid vessels, also modernizing some of their canneries around the fish meal and fish oil businesses. Modernizing facilities. But I don't think a bad set of results. And no big moves in the share price on the day. Certainly not given the volume of information that we've received on Oceana, but still managing to buck the trend and end the day up 1.17%.
We're getting towards the end of the year, and these market movements are becoming more and more interesting by the day. We'll leave the conversation there, Gary. Thanks as always for the time and for the insights. Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager and Director at Rand Swiss, joining us to take a look at some of the market movements throughout the day, how we make sense of them, and what's been driving some of these moves.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.